Question 79. Wilt thou be made whole? When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? 38 years is a long time to be sick and immobile. Could it be possible that this man got used to being in this condition? Many allowances and provisions had to be made to accommodate this man in his affliction. He must have made them, and many must have been made for him. It's entirely possible that this condition came upon him at birth, making him nearly 40 years old. But if it came upon him in his youth, he may have been in his 60s. He was a mature man in any case. After many years of affliction, sickness, pain, even suffering, the aggravation wears off and an acceptance replaces it. At the time that injury or illness strikes, there's a shock of our lifestyle and the schedule being interrupted and altered, and then, with everything that was earlier considered important laid aside, we take on the battle for normality. We employ doctors and specialists and consult books and knowledgeable people to give us back our life as we once knew it. As it settled upon us that our illness or injury is never going to be better, we resign a little of our fighting spirit and a little of our lives to the victor. I suffered the near amputation of my right hand as an 18-year-old. The hand I now have is scarred and dysfunctional. Because the median nerve was cut, only 3 fingers of the 5 have tactile sensitivity, enough to feel anything other than extreme heat or cold. You should see me typing. Every effort was made to restore the hand. Many doctors were surprised I was able to keep it at all. Dr. McCarthy was skillful and persevering, and with all that was available in those days, made my hand usable again. I have now been with this impaired hand longer than I ever had the one with which I was born. I had so much pain for the years of surgery and rehabilitation, I used to wonder if my hand ever stopped hurting, or I had just become accustomed to the pain. It seems impossible, but I have become so used to its deformity and pain and lack of utility, I can hardly remember what it was like to be any other way. From time to time, I may meet an orthopedic surgeon who becomes interested in my injury. I see him trace with his fingers on my already scarred skin lines of surgical openings and talk of making further repairs. He tries to engage my enthusiasm by promising more freedom, less pain, removal of scar tissue, and restoration of sensitivity. All I can think of is the 5 surgeries that preceded my present condition, and the pain of rehabilitation, and the fact that I get along pretty well as it is. In essence, what the doctor is saying to me is, Wilt thou be made whole? I answer, Nah, I'll be all right. To one degree or another, we all have been through this. Some were left with only scars as a reminder, some with debilitating disease. When it occurs to the strong and the independent man that he will not always be so, and to the young and beautiful woman that those 2 terms are inseparable, the futility of struggling falls upon us. Jesus sensed this. One can hear in his question and in John's introduction of the question a concern for the length of time that man had struggled with his illness. When Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? It is as if Christ was asking the most ridiculous question. How could anyone in that condition for 38 years not desire wholeness? However, it is possible he had become comfortable, cynical, pessimistic, or even content with his affliction. It had become his life, his conversation, his condition that set him apart, gave him personality, notoriety, or noteworthiness. So Jesus' question had merit. Wilt thou be made whole? The Amplified Bible says it this way: "There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, he said to him, 'Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well?' His willingness was in question because a long period of time had passed. We have a tendency to adapt to or accept a condition that is out of our control. In like manner, when sin takes hold in our lives, when we find ourselves in transgression, the fight for normality commences. We remember the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and now we can feel that He's grieved with us. The doubting and the fear that has been a stranger to us recently now makes its home in us. We struggle for a cure. We employ, ask, consult, and read till we fall on our faces before God, repent, and make it all right again. Just as our life regains its balance and the joy of our salvation has been restored, alas, it happens again. Sometimes we come through with only scars, sometimes debilitating and irrevocable harm and loss. When it occurs to us that we are prone to wander and even likely to disappoint the Lord we love, so in the physical, the futility of struggling falls upon us. After acceptance comes, we're in danger of carrying about an attitude that says, 'This is the way God made me, and I can't help it.' We may even enjoy it a little, the notoriety and the 2 minutes of fame it gives us. But will you be made whole, even if it makes you like everyone else, takes away your notoriety and your secret indulgences? Have you lost the sweet taste of being whole? Have you so soon forgotten the glory of cleanliness before God and the wonderful forgiveness that washes over a man and fills him with the very presence of God? Will you be made whole?" We all risk complacency creeping into our lives. Can I revive you in a desire to be as you were the day Christ first cleansed your soul? Do you remember the fervor with which you attacked the sin and shortcomings in your life? Can the lost and forgotten ideal, faded by time and disappointment, be renewed into the fresh hope that you had at the beginning? If I cannot, you're in danger of fatal acceptance of lukewarm mediocrity. As the years slide by, the hope of being totally free from sin will ebb away till that hope will be transformed into a dream. The dream will eventually turn into a wish. The wish will degrade into preference. And finally, preference will become nothing more than whim. Have you decided to live with your situation, with your malady, in your maimed and impaired condition? Have you become discouraged with the prospect of living above sin? Have you forgotten the grace of God that empowers you to win over the sin in your life? You may have folded and given up, thinking that the fight is hopeless, but it's not. You don't have to sin every day, as you've been told. You're commissioned by God to keep His commandments and endure. There must be a renewal within to remember the presence of the indwelling Christ and freshly commit to living exemplary lives as children of God. Christ waits to indwell and empower you, to give you the first desire of your conversion, that you may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the power to become the sons of God. But first, forgiveness must come, cleansing and repentance. Jesus knows that you have been in your state for quite a while. He wonders if you've settled in and grown comfortable in your lukewarm condition and asks, "Wilt thou be made whole?"